Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of You Enjoy Life, the podcast that's really here to lend a helping hand. If there's something you're struggling with, if you need some support, remember, we're all in this together. So this podcast is just really here to give you some inspiration, share some things, but not just share the good, share the truth, share the hardships and how we manage to overcome them, you know, through support, through community, through kind of thinking outside of the box of ourselves. So today I just want to start you guys off with something, a little simple breathing exercise. And this is just a really great way to kind of ground yourself. If you're feeling overwhelmed, I've been doing this technique a lot recently where like I find that a lot of times I think from my head. I know it sounds silly, it sounds obvious, but like I get so heady, like up in my head, and things get overwhelming that I kind of struggle to actually feel my body. So what I've been doing recently is sort of this like really simple breathing exercise kind of meditation just to kind of help me go from the head where things can get really tense and uptight to kind of like letting all my emotions and all the energy just kind of spread out through my body. What that does is helps me feel more grounded, more present, and more alive and feeling myself. So let's just do this real quick. If you'd like, close your eyes. Take a deep breath in through your nose and out through your mouth. I find this is a great way to breathe. What you do is you just breathe in slowly through your nose. And as you're breathing in, you're just feeling your whole body just kind of fill up with air. So whatever tension you're feeling in your head, what I want you to do is breathe kind of into that. So imagine your nose, the air is going through your nose up towards your head if you're feeling that heaviness. And then as you're breathing out, it's just kind of all coming down through your body and out through your mouth. Let's just take two more and then we will begin our podcast. All right. Now, how are you feeling now? Take a moment to think about it. You know, do you feel like a huge shift? You know, maybe you were already feeling relaxed or maybe you were feeling tense. Just kind of be aware that, like, I know for me, I feel more peace. And the reason I did that exercise isn't just because I'm here to teach it to you, but I also needed it myself because today, you know, we woke up, my wife and I did a little meditation and we went right to the gym and then, you know, cooked my first meal after the gym. And then I've been working on my office. I'm actually redoing my office right now, clearing everything out, making it really streamlined, really simple, really open. So I have access to the things I need so I can be more creative. But the thing, I was trying to hang my computer monitor and it was actually, I was having some issues finding the studs. For some reason, our walls, like, I don't know if they just build our house really weird or what, because it's a flip, but it's so hard to find the studs in this house. So I was getting frustrated. I knew I wanted to do this meditation and I knew I wanted to do this podcast. So I thought it'd be a great opportunity to kind of share something with you instead of doing it myself and just coming primed. I've just noticed that one thing I love about this podcast is that I'm not here to come as like the person who knows everything or who's ready to go. Like I like being able to share things with you because if I just show up ready to go every time, that's great, but you might not be there yet. So now, you know, by doing this breathing exercise, we can sort of be in this together. I'm going to take one last breath. I've noticed recently that I've actually been struggling to figure out how I breathe when I do this podcast because you can hear everything. And I'm like, how did I used to breathe? Well, like I'm getting so in my head about it. So I also want to do that breathing exercise to kind of get out of my head a little bit. So as you know, I open up my email at youenjoylifemusic@gmail.com for anyone that's interested, that's struggling with something, needs some guidance, needs some advice that they can write in. And they can share something that's going on in their life, maybe something that they're struggling with. Like I said, need some guidance or whatever. And then I do my best to build an episode around whatever that topic is. And first off, it inspires me to share some personal stories and some things that I've learned. And also, I think it's a great way to build community where, you know, we're all part of this together. It's not just me sharing things or just interviewing people. And that I love doing that, but I also get to kind of get to know you a bit better and maybe give you some guidance in my own life. So recently someone wrote in, and of course I never mention any names and I only share with your permission. So let me just read this to you, and then I'm going to talk a bit about it and give you some thoughts and some personal stories, and also just like, you know, some things that I think might be helpful and insightful. Okay, so here we go. Hi, Josh. I discovered you through your cooking channel and started getting to listen to your podcast when you released your video about depression and food. I myself struggle a lot with body image issues and emotional eating. I've been soothing myself for my strong emotions for the past 10 years. I'm a hypersensitive person and have suffered from bullying at school and highly stressful college that resulted in heavy dieting. I'm not trying to tap into my emotions with my therapist, but food is still a huge issue for me, with frequent binges. I could just try to ignore food and get away from it, but the problem is, or the opportunity is just that. I really love your podcast and can relate to you on a lot of issues what you're talking about, especially not feeling wanted, being a people pleaser, and questioning about my career path. You've helped me understand some issues I need to consider, but now I need to implement and really get going. I'm considering enrolling in your Feed the Change, but I'm afraid of getting back into dieting spirit, and I was wondering whether you had former feedback from people having emotional and body image issues. Thank you so much for your inspiration. Okay, and then he went on to just, you know, say a couple little things, but that was basically it. And first off, for anyone that writes in, you know, this email and anyone, like, it takes a lot of courage to share what's going on. Even if, you know, this is anonymous, just sharing it with me, just sending me an email, whether I'm going to include it in a podcast or not, and I always do my best to. But regardless, like, you know, I just want to give you some credit and say thank you for being vulnerable and being honest to share what's going on in your life. Because I always say this on the podcast, but the number one thing, I think, in the step of recovery or getting over something is to actually, you know, share it with someone. Be open. Share it with, you know, a person you know. Share it with people on the street, whoever it is. Obviously, the best thing you can do, I think, to start is have someone that you trust, whether it's a professional, you know, or even just a friend that you can say, hey, I'm struggling with this. I would love your support. But the more we share, the more we normalize it. When we keep it to ourselves, we make up all these stories about things are wrong with us or that we're weird or that we have problems or we shouldn't this and we should that. And it's never good. I know myself, when I have these issues in my life and I just hold them in my head, it eventually comes out in mean and in gnarly ways. So in the email, one of the things that this person was talking about, and I should just clear up, and he said, Feed the Change. And I just wanted to give you a little bit of background on what Feed the Change is. And I'll talk about this more, but my wife and I created this really lovely program. It's a 6-week course that anyone can take online. It's all about emotional eating. And the idea behind it is, you know, there are a lot of diets out there. There are a lot of, like, you know, lose 10 pounds in 5 days, and this is the diet, you should be eating this, you should be eating that. And Feed the Change is kind of like, for anyone that doesn't like dieting or feels like they've tried all the diets and it doesn't work, it's not a diet. Because what we've kind of come to understand over the years, between the two of us and being, my wife's, you know, suffered 20-year eating disorder and overcome that herself, and I've suffered through food and depression, and I cook, and I love to teach people how to cook and all these things. And one big thing we've come to see is that food is such an emotional thing. You know, when you're sitting down to eat a meal, you might not be aware of this, but it is a very emotional experience. And I'm not saying for every single person, but for most of us, like, when we think of food, it's an exciting thing. You know, it's like, it's a reward. Maybe we're working all day and we want to have that reward. So now we get to sit down. We get to have this great meal. And it's like this exciting moment of like, yes, you know, I worked hard, or I finished my day, or I wake up and I get to have this, like, these pancakes, and it's like a treat. I'm treating myself. It tastes good. And then there's other people on the flip side. There's an emotion to eating because it's not a reward, but it's like a struggle. You know, you can't afford food, and it's like you're just eating rice and beans to get by, and you're wishing you had more food, and it's just sustenance, and whatever the situation is. Food is very emotional. Now, one thing that I've seen, and one thing that I really appreciate about this email, is that, you know, suffering from, like, being a sensitive person, I can relate to that. Being bullied, I can relate to that. Being, you know, stressed out, of course. I think these are things that a lot of people experience, and myself included. I've been bullied in many occurrences throughout my life, and I guess on the one hand, I feel like I haven't been bullied in a many long time, but I guess there's like the online thing where people say not so nice things. I'm not saying it's bullying, but I feel like it hurts as much, you know. And I think back to being in elementary school and getting made fun of for being Jewish or for having a big nose or for being small or stupid or whatever it was, you know, those things hurt. I've also been physically bullied as well. But I think now the only bullyingness I experience, not my daily life, I don't have people in my life who are just making fun of me, But online, I experience a lot of bullying and people just being mean to be mean, and that can be hurtful. But also body image. So one thing that I've experienced with body image is that it's this weird thing. So we live in this society where, you know, we're kind of the people we see the most, that not our friends, but the people we interact with the most, like visually, you know, they're usually good looking people. We watch TV shows, we go online, magazines, advertisements, you know, people are, they have white teeth and they have nice spray tans and they have good bodies. And, you know, you go on, different things like a magazine and these women in the magazine, and the men, like they're photoshopped, they're already like beautiful, you know, quote unquote, like these beautiful people. And then beyond that, they're photoshopped to look a certain way. And, you know, I had a roommate who used to do a lot of photo touching, and it blew my mind when I started learning about how much they photo touch stuff. They can smooth skin out, they can get rid of acne, sure, but they can also change, you know, chest size, and they can change waist size, and you would never even notice. And these are already people that are, quote unquote, like the most beautiful people, models, top of the top, and they're still getting photoshopped and all these things. And then you're looking at that and you're wishing you were like that. I know from my personal experience with body image issues is that I look around and I don't consider myself someone who's overweight, but I also don't consider myself someone who's like in perfect shape. I don't have like a six pack and I don't shave my chest and I don't, like, I feel strong and I feel in shape, but I don't feel like I have that kind of typical, like, you look at me and you're like that sexy beach bod, whatever. And I've always struggled with that. I've always felt like I've had just like a little bit of a, just like a little bit of a belly, you know, at least for a very long time, and never quite had that six pack. And for many years, I was just insecure, and I still have moments where I get insecure about my body image because, like, I feel like there's someone else out there that I'm comparing myself to. And I realized I've created this really weird thing where I actually, for many years, I stopped looking in the mirror because I got so, like, kind of obsessed with looking at myself in the mirror, not from a vain perspective, but, like, from this insecure perspective, like, looking at myself, looking at, you know, different angles, flexing, you know, and just not really feeling secure with my body, but looking at myself from a sense of, like, judgment. And that can be really hard and challenging because I'm not just comparing myself to a better version of myself, but like sort of subconsciously or unconsciously, I'm comparing myself to what like the standard is in the world. So I remember like last year, I was actually kind of struggling with this a bit, and I realized, you know, what is this? What is the real standard? You know, we have this assumption that when we see these magazines that we should look a certain way, our body should be like this, or should be like that. But when you really break it down, like, what does that really mean? Are we basing it really off of health? Like, oh, if I look that way, I'd be healthy? Or do we want to look that way because it's good? We think we'll be attractive and all these things. And is that even, like, the standard? You know, there are people that excessively work out and that have a lot of struggles and have a lot of issues because they are obsessed with working out. And they might look good and skinny, but then they have all these hidden issues you don't know about. I had a girlfriend many, many years ago who was in really good shape, but she was obsessed with running. She was always running to the point where it was actually becoming very dangerous for her because she wasn't eating very much and she was not taking care of herself. And it seemed like, oh, yeah, she's running all the time. She's healthy. You know, her body looks good. She's healthy. But there's all these emotional things going on and her body was failing her in a lot of ways. So the reason I bring this up is because, A, when it comes to body image and when it comes to being sensitive, like, I think we need to first align with, like, what are our real things? And this is something you can write out, like, what do we really believe about ourselves, and how does that really relate to reality? Like, what do you really think about yourself physically right now? Anyone, take some time to write this down. You can pause this and do it right now, or you can do it after. Write about, like, why do you feel the certain way about yourself? So how do you feel about yourself? We can start with that. Number one, you know, how do you feel about your physical appearance? And this can be, you know, like, you know, face or whatever, or it can be body. You know, how do you feel about your body? And it can be both. And after you write that, then start to think about, like, why do you feel that way? You know, who are you comparing yourself to? What is your standard? And maybe you have a serious weight problem and you know you need to lose weight for health reasons. Okay, good. But what are you focusing on? Are you focusing on, like, I need to look like this and putting pressure on yourself and feeling like you never will? Or is it just because, you know, you just want to get in shape, you want to feel better? Because when we get to understand our why, and when you think that, when your why, when you kind of uncover the fact that your why is like, well, I want to look like this model, you know, then you can start to get clear and say, well, maybe that's not real. Maybe that person doesn't even look like that. But maybe there's a better why. Maybe the real why is, I want to get healthy. I want to feel good about, I want to look in the mirror and just feel good about myself. Because the truth is, even people that seem, like I said, seem physically okay, a lot of them don't feel good about themselves. You see a lot of, you know, these, the truth behind Instagram and these people, these models that look amazing, but they're really stressed out and they took 1,000 photos to get that one shot and they like knew the right angle and all these things. And we're seeing that and assuming they have this great life. So we're seeing these things outside of ourselves and assuming someone's more happy than we are. So that is just kind of a little thing that helped me get clear on my insecurities, because I found myself continually looking, you know, at who I was and who I wanted to be and just putting a lot of pressure and then being guilty, because then I would eat and then I would feel guilty that I was eating certain things. And so here's another level of where this emotional eating thing comes in. So our emotions are so deeply rooted. When you're born, you know, you experience so much that you're not even fully aware of. And they say like most of the human is like, you know, emotionally, like you're, by the time you're 7 years old, like you're kind of formed. Not to say you can't change, but a lot of who you are, what you think, what you feel within the first 7 years of your life is kind of like already coming together really powerfully. So we all have different parents, of course. And our parents have different thoughts about what is good to eat, what is not good to eat, or maybe they don't care. So when you were raised, you're raised in a household where, you know, you're being told certain things, you're seeing certain things, like you're being told things by your parents about how to eat, you know, clean your plate. You can't leave the table until you clean your plate. Or there are people that are starving, you've got to eat your food. Or like, don't eat that, you'll get fat, you know, or like, oh, I see you're gaining weight, whatever these things are, you know, you're being told all this stuff as a kid. Or you're seeing your parents eat a certain way. You know, if your parents are overweight, for example, and they eat really fast, you're probably going to condition yourself to eat really fast. You know, if situations at home are stressful and you're at dinner and your parents are fighting, or people in your family are fighting, you know, you're probably going to eat with a lot of stress and anxiety. And what happens is even as we get older, we hold on to that. So what we don't realize is emotionally when we sit down to eat a meal, there's so much at play. We think it's like, okay, I'm taking a break from school, from studying, from work, whatever. I'm just going to sit down and eat my little meal and that'll be that. And, you know, that's cool. And then I eat it and I'm gone. But the truth is there's so much more going on. So let's say, for example, you sit down to eat a meal and you're at work and you're at your computer and it's a stressful day and you've got a burrito in your hand and the other hand's typing and you're typing away and you're eating your burrito, you're scarfing down, you're barely tasting it. What's happening is your body is A, not going to be digesting the food nearly as well, because if you're taking these gigantic bites and swallowing things almost whole, then your stomach has so much that it needs to break down. And this is a big part of the Feed the Change course. I'll put a link to it in case anybody is interested. But your stomach has a lot more to break down than if you're actually chewing your food. So that is a piece that I find is really fascinating. And the other thing is that you're actually taking in the stress of what's going on, because food is eating. It's an extremely intimate experience. You know, this is something, like I said, my wife and I have been experiencing and getting to know and getting to understand over the years from doing all these different experiences with people. Like, we've done these amazing dinners of 30, 40 people, and everyone's blindfolded, and we're feeding them, like, food, and they're relearning how to eat, and their eyes are closed, and they're tasting food in a way they've never tasted it before, and through meditation, through visualization, they're being brought back to these places as a child, and they're remembering, you know, why they eat a certain way, why they always scarf their food down, you know, why they're really insecure about what they eat, and they kind of get in tune with their emotions. So I'm going to explain more about that and the really fascinating thing about this. But first, quick message from our sponsor. And welcome back. So maybe you're starting to get clear about something, and maybe it's going to take some writing to do. And this is another thing that you can write. Think about, what is the place that you're at when you're eating? And do you really take time to make eating like a spiritual practice? I'm not saying like you need to bless your food, although when we sit down to eat a meal, we bless our food even for 10 to 30 seconds. I close my eyes. I'm grateful for the food. I pause. I breathe. And I enjoy the food. I savor it. There are days when I don't. Even today, I was guilty. Like, I was excited about something else, so I'm eating my meal, and it's so good. After a few bites, so I jump on my computer and I start working away. And it wasn't a stressful thing, but I was like, you can't really enjoy the food nearly as much. You're tasting like so much less food when you're doing other things. You know, when you're watching TV even, you know, you're working or whatever it is, like, it's so hard to actually appreciate the flavor. And we chew our food and we appreciate it. We can actually create a lot of peace and calmness in our body, because when we eat and we're stressed out, our body's not going to be functioning as well. So that's the thing about dieting. It's like there are benefits to dieting, but what a lot of people don't realize is you can eat the exact same meal in two different ways and have a very different outcome. So we assume, you know, from a dieting scientific perspective, okay, well, you know, here's how many calories I need to take in. These foods are good. These foods are bad. If I eat this, I'm good. But no, it's not just that simple. And there's a simplicity to it when you get to understand it, but it's not as simple as just eat this, don't eat that. Because I could eat, you know, a head of broccoli and I could swallow a huge crown in a bite. Or I could slowly sit there and I can chew it. And then when I chew it, you know, my saliva gets into it, which helps break it down, part of my digestive enzymes. And it goes into my body. And it's like a mush. And now my body doesn't need to digest as much. However, if it's fully, you know, a full piece of broccoli in your stomach to digest, that's going to take a long time. So you might start having like acid refluxes or stomach pains or gas and all these things. So even gas, if you're someone that struggles with gas, just chew your food more. Be more mindful when you're eating and that will go away. So I think a lot of people, and including in this email that I got, you know, he was saying that he is considered about doing the Feed the Change program, but he's afraid of getting back into the dieting spirit because he's had some struggling with diet over the years. And it's like, this isn't about the diet. And another piece is, you know, he's saying, I'm trying to tap into my emotions with my therapist, but food's still a huge issue. And it's because we can tap into our emotions, but we have so much emotionally that is connected to what we eat. So you can deal with your emotions and, like, you know, your issues with being bullied or your self-conscious and, you know, your self-doubt and all these things. But the emotions with food, they're their own beast that has to be understood. And like I said, when you're very young and you're conditioned to believe that you have to eat a certain way, when you're conditioned to believe that you have to be a certain way when you're eating, you know, you have to be very proper and you have to sit up and very quiet, or it's very loud and people are joking around at dinner and everyone's kind of like making fun of whatever the situation is. Like, you need to get clear to how you grew up eating, who are the influences in your life, who are the closest people in your life that helped you shift. You know, and when I say help, it's almost like unconsciously, they kind of showed you how to eat. And if they were healthy and they were mindful, great, but most people aren't. The reality is most people are not mindful and there's a lot of stress around when it comes to eating. That's a huge, huge thing. There's so much stress for people. So you're eating and you have all these emotions bottled up and then you take that into your life and you don't even realize it. Even once you're away from your family and away from, you know, however you grew up, we hold on to these things. We don't realize it. So to me, this always goes back to the same thing, awareness. Being aware of the way that we eat. And this is the practice you can do at home. Next time you sit down to a meal, you just sit down. And like I said, in the Feed the Change course, you'll get so much more in depth to this. But what I want you to do is sit down. Look at your food. Be aware of it. How does it make you feel? Are you excited to eat that food? Most times we don't even have a chance to like look at the food. We're so hungry. Burger shows up and we just scarf it down. But look at it. Notice it. Notice the different colors. Smell it. Touch it. You know, move it up towards our lips. Like, just kind of get excited. Close our eyes and visualize ourselves eating it and savoring it. And then just do a little bit of a prayer. And this isn't like a religious prayer, but just, you know, say thank you. Just be grateful. Show the world, show yourself that you're grateful that you have this meal. You know, the truth is, there are a lot of people that don't have food out there. And, you know, they're grateful to get to have a meal once a day, if that. So be grateful. Make sure that you're grateful and that you are, you know, excited to eat this food. Because when you show gratitude for the food, you know, it's the emotional experience. It's like very intimate. What you eat becomes you. You know, so the energy that you're putting towards it is actually going to become part of you. It might sound like crazy and weird and out there, but it's true. The way in which you consume something, you know, it's like Jack and I always say, it's like the way you consume food is the way you consume your life. If you rush through your meals and you don't savor them, you're probably doing the same exact thing in your life. And there's a lot of emotionalness to that. A lot of times people eat a lot of food and then they feel guilty. But what I've said, like one of my favorite things, because I'm not someone that likes to diet and I've been intermittent fasting and that's been great. But instead of focusing on what I'm eating, I focus on just being present when I'm eating. Because I know if I'm present when I eat something, if I sit there, if I savor it and appreciate it, then I don't walk away feeling guilty, whether it's, you know, a nice salad or a donut. But when I scarf something down out of guilt, And like last week, it was like I got a donut, and it was like a vegan donut, but still, I just kind of scarfed it down, like, oh, sugar, blah, blah, blah. And I noticed the feeling. I noticed like how I felt and how I did not want to feel that way anymore. You know, and every time I make a mistake, it's like a checkbook. It's like, okay, yep, again, you made the same mistake. Don't do that again. Next time you go to eat, think about, you know, why you're eating that food. Think about how it's going to make you feel. And if you still want it, then eat it. But I always take myself through this little practice. When I'm kind of those foods that are more guilt-related, and this is how I got over eating fast food. And you know, I did a podcast about this last year, but I would basically visualize myself going through the whole eating process and the post-eating process. So I would imagine myself eating the food, smelling it, savoring it, you know, but a lot of times that food, after you eat it, you don't feel very well. You know, I know whenever I used to eat fast food and spend many years, I would have this gigantic dip. I would take a bite and like, you know, after the meal, it would be over in 5 minutes and then just this energy dip, and I'd feel weird and kind of gnarly and gross. And the more I became aware of that, the more I became like turned off by eating that kind of food. And it was a natural thing. I didn't just say I need to cut out fast food because I'm not healthy, it's not good for me. I loved fast food, but I knew it wasn't good. And instead of just shutting it out, because when you shut something out, like on a diet, you know, if there's some foods that you love and you can't eat them all of a sudden, but you haven't emotionally understood why you can't eat them, well, then it's going to backfire. Most people end up going on diets and they lose weight and they gain back more weight after. It's like statistically, the majority of people that go on diets gain the weight back and more after, because they don't understand the emotional side to it. And Feed the Change is all about helping you get deep and kind of connected to the emotional side. And I'm not here to sell you on Feed the Change. I think it's a beautiful program that you can take and have, you know, this commitment and have this accountability to actually go through this thing and get to know your emotions better and your emotional eating and overcome eating addiction, because it's a real thing and most people struggle with it. And there's extremes, but a lot of people that I've met, most people that I've met have some kind of weird eating pattern because they haven't really looked at their eating. And it's something that most of us do at least 3 times a day, but yet we do it mindlessly. So the more mindful you are, like when I said with fast food, I didn't want to just cut it out, but I started becoming more mindful of, okay, how does it make me feel? I just ate it. I feel that energy dip. My stomach hurts, whatever. Next time, instead of eating it, I think about eating it first. You know, I'm like, how's this going to make me feel? Okay, you know, it's not going to make me feel good. Is it still worth it? And I remember I'd visualize myself, honestly, it's gross, but being on the toilet and kind of struggling and having stomach cramps. I'm like, is it worth the 5 or 10 minutes to eat that food to feel crappy for the rest of the day? And it wasn't. And ultimately, the mindfulness won out because it realized it wasn't worth it. You know, but there are good foods out there that make us feel good. And when we're present with those foods, we can actually feel really fantastic and really good in our lives. So the thing I kind of want to just leave you with is this food is a huge thing to me. I've been doing Brothers Green for a long time. And even though the majority of it is about the recipe, the underlying message to me is all about inspiration, about getting the kitchen, getting excited to cook something new, getting more connected to the foods you're eating. Because I'm not here to push any dieting method. I'm just here to say, hey, food changed my life in such a big way. And if you connect to food in the way that I did, or in your own way, it can completely shift and change your life for the better. So if you're someone that doesn't cook out there and you have all these excuses for, oh, I don't have the time, this and that, go check out Brothers Green. We have a million recipes, and a lot of them take 5 minutes and, you know, 3 to 5 ingredients, and they're delicious. And they don't focus on health. They just focus on deliciousness. But then as you get more connected to food, new things open up in your life. You know, the more aware you become, it's like a slow journey. It's like your hair growing. You know, you don't necessarily notice it. It's just little incremental changes. That's why it's good to keep a journal, so you can look back and say, okay, this is where I was. This is where I want to get to. It's amazing the things that you, when you write down what you want to create, you look back a year later and you're like, wow, I actually did that. Then you realize you can go further and further and further and move forward and forward and forward. So yes, food is a huge part of my life, and getting to become more aware of it has changed my life in a big way. But I know it can be a very challenging experience if you're someone that struggles with emotional eating in some way. And I don't want you to think like you need to be anorexic or bulimic to have an eating disorder, or having what we call disordered eating. So maybe you don't have an eating disorder, but you have some sort of disorder around eating. Most people have a really weird relationship to food because it is confusing. You know, we see commercials, we watch cooking shows, we have all this information coming in about what we should eat. You know, we watch a commercial and there's like this beautiful, sexy sandwich, like slow motion falling down, and there's a celebrity who picks it up and eats it and it's like, oh, I need this. And we think we need it. And, you know, we're told to that food should be viral and should be crazy and over the top. And we obsess about these crazy, insane sandwiches and burgers and deep fried rolled bacon, all this stuff. And so it is confusing and it is hard, but it's up to you, because you have the responsibility for your own life to take matters into your own hands, to not blame other people, to not judge other people, to not make up reasons why you can't do this and you can't do that, because you can do anything you want. I'm here to tell you that when I stop blaming the world, stop blaming my parents, I stop blaming commercials and the man and the government, all these things, I stop blaming people, I start taking matters into my own hands, I realize there's great food everywhere and I can be present with that food, I can eat it, I can enjoy it, and I can feel amazing and fantastic. And it doesn't just happen overnight, it takes time, but now is a start. So on your next meal, I want you to be more present. I want you to sit down. Even if it's just the last bite, even if you forget, I still do this. Sometimes I scarf a meal down, and it's much less now. I tend to save my food very well. But every once in a while, I'll scarf a meal down, and it's the last couple bites where I'm like, wait, whoa, 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 what are you doing? I pause, I check in with myself, and I savor the freaking crap out of those last few bites. And even just that carries me over to the next meal. So, to Unnamed, who wrote in, thank you so much for sharing this. I really appreciated this email. And I hope you guys have enjoyed this podcast. If you have things that you are curious about, or you need some guidance or need some help, I want you to know that I'm here for you. Just email me at youenjoylifemusic@gmail.com. I'll put that below, as well as the link to the Feed the Change course. And we will talk soon, and be well.